14. Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus 14 and verse 1. Third book in your Bible, Leviticus chapter 14 and the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. I want you to underline those words. The day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now, we've been taking up a number of studies on the precious blood of Christ. I think we have been continuing since the first of the year. And today we have cleansing through the blood. For three Sundays we were speaking upon the great day of atonement, that unusual day, that day that every Israelite looked forward to, the great day of atonement, the outstanding day in the history of that nation. We haven't taken up yet the day of consecration. You have the great day of atonement, but you also have the day of consecration. That was an unusual ceremony in Israel, when the lamb was slain, after they had been cleansed by blood, they took, or the priest did, and when I refer to the priest, I'm not referring to those today who are called priests, I'm referring to the old Jewish priest. He used to dip his finger in the blood of the animal and touch the tip of the right ear and the thumb of the right hand and the big toe of the right foot of the Israelite who came for cleansing. This was the day of his consecration. His sins had been forgiven. But that's one thing. There's a step further. God wanted that man to know that he had been redeemed as to what he heard, as to what he did, as to where he went. Thus, the blood was touched upon his ear and his thumb and his right foot, or the toe of his right foot. That was the day when he consecrated himself unto the Lord. One of the biggest tragedies of the present day, and I would say the fault and the failure of the church, is a lot of people have been saved by the grace of God through the blood of Christ, but they haven't yet realized what it is to consecrate themselves unto the Lord. That is, they're not living for Christ the way they should. And the New Testament says, you're not your own, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirits which are his. There is the blood upon the tip of the ear. It's wonderful when you see a Christian who has an ear for the voice of God. He has an ear for this blessed book, the shepherd's voice. When you see a person who professes to be Christian and they'd sooner listen to anything else, they would sooner listen to a lot of trash that they get over the TV and radio, rather than spend a little time tuning their ear to the voice of the good shepherd as seen in this blessed book, something's gone wrong. Then the thumb touched with blood the thumb of the right hand. That speaks of what you do. When you see those who claim to be Christians doing certain things that are inconsistent with the Christian life, it puts a question mark in your mind. Is that person saved or is that person not? There should be evidence. And I think the greatest stumbling block to people getting saved today is the failure of those who profess to be Christians. If I've had it said to me, Once in my life, in 35 years ministry, I have heard it 1,000 times, speaking to people about why they don't go to church. Well, preacher, there are just too many hypocrites in the church. So-and-so professes to be a Christian, and look what he does. Why, I wouldn't do it. It is strange that they don't refer to hypocrites in the business life. There are lots of hypocrites in the business world. Men who don't live up to their word. They use trickery in business. There are hypocrites in almost every field. You can find some in the real estate business. You can find some in the medical profession. But isn't it strange how people are so ready to pick out a hypocrite in religion? Well, I really believe you're right. But if a man's a Christian, he should let others see it, and not bring dishonor and disgrace upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be a stumbling block to others in getting saved, I think, is a serious and sad and tragic sin. For a Christian to be a stumbling block to someone else coming to the saved, just because what he does and what he's willing to listen to, where he goes, blood on the toe. His walk is not consistent. To me, that's tragic. That's something that should call for exercise on the part of every Christian. Our lives should be in keeping with our profession. Otherwise, we're going to be stumbling stones to poor sinners instead of stepping stones to Christ. Are you a stumbling stone to some poor sinner who points to you and says, well, if you're a Christian, I am, although I make no profession? Or are you a stepping stone to that person in his quest for Christ, his seeking after salvation? God wants us to be stepping stones. Now into our text, in these two chapters, the day of his cleansing. This day was looked forward to on the part of this man and certainly reflected upon with great joy. In these chapters, if you wish to read them at your leisure, you have leprosy disclosed. Then you have leprosy dissected, diagnosed, if you will. And then you have leprosy done away with. And the strange thing is, in these two chapters, you'll find leprosy in the individual, in a man, in a woman. You'll find leprosy in a garment. And you'll find leprosy in a house. Now, what does this mean? Leprosy in the individual is quite easy to explain because it refers to the sinner. And leprosy is one of those diseases that God selects to illustrate sin. I don't know a disease that has affected the human anatomy that illustrates sin like leprosy. And God uses it as an illustration of sin. Sin in the individual. There's the individual sinner. How sin has affected him. Then sin in the garment. You read that in chapter 13. The warp and the loop of the garment has to be investigated to see if there's any leprosy in it. There's the conduct. Your garment is how you appear before your fellow men. And there again you find leprosy as seen in the garment or the conduct of those who claim to be Christian. But then there's leprosy in the house. Now what does the house speak of? It speaks of the church life. The church or the assembly. And if you read the incidents in chapter 14, you'll find that when leprosy was discovered in a house, if we were on the plaster, they had to scrape all the plaster off the wall, and it had to be investigated. If it hadn't gone any deeper than just the plaster, it could be replastered and relived it. If some of the foundation stones had a fretting leprosy, why, the stones could be removed. But after 3 or 4 tries, and the leprosy returned, and it was discovered to be what God says, a fretting leprosy, God says, tear the house down, it's no good. And I can't visit that house. Destroy. You know, to me, this is very solemn. And I confess to you, I didn't see the importance of it until one day this week while thinking on this subject. What does it mean? It's sad to see leprosy in an individual, but also leprosy in the life of one who professes, that is sin I'm referring to. But in connection with the church, here you have a remarkable scriptural illustration. Now, no church is perfect. God forbid that I should say the Albany Gospel Chapel is perfect. But I will say this. We try as God enables us to go according to this blessed book and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. All our ministry is focused to glorify Jesus Christ and to live clean lives unto His name. And so a house has a little sign of leprosy. Every church is, has some. And that can be corrected. But the house got to the point where it couldn't be corrected. The trouble got too deep and widespread that God says, dispose of it. I'm through it. It's a sad thing when sin so works in a church. God says, I can no longer associate myself with it. It's a fretting leprosy, meaning something that's constantly breaking out. They found it in the plaster, and they replastered it after they scraped off the old plaster, only to find it breaking out again. You read it yourself in chapter 4. And where is a constant breaking out of sin, and trouble and division and strife in a church? It's a fretting condition. It can't be healed. God says, I can't associate myself with it. If it can't be corrected and remedied by the Word of God, then I'm through with it. I confess to you, I'm sad today. The many churches that once were a power for God and a lighthouse, today they're as dead and as silent as a cemetery, save for the rattling of the bones of contention and trouble and strife, a fretting leprosy. In connection with this leper, he felt his need, and he wanted the priest to come out. He wanted to get back with his family because he was separated from them. And you'll find in this case that it's only a need that drives a man to seek after the Lord. That's true physically. You don't go to a doctor unless you feel the need of going to the doctor. Oh, some people go annually to get an examination. And on one of those occasions when they went just casually, annually to get an examination, they didn't feel anything wrong, but they discovered something was wrong. And you know, some people go to church like that. Well, just go every Sunday. It's a thing to do. It's a respectable thing to do, just for a little weekly checkup. Till some Sunday, the Lord, by His Word and Spirit, discovers to that individual there's something wrong with you spiritually. You're not the Christian you thought you were, if you're a Christian at all. And the Word of God takes the x-ray, and the laboratory of divine truth reveals you've got something wrong with you. You're not born again. You've been just a casual churchgoer. But now you discover there's something wrong. You've never been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful discovery to make. Better make it in time than in eternity when it's too late. But then again, others, they come to church because they feel their need. You don't go to the pantries and eat if you're not hungry. You don't go to the faucet to get a drink of water if you're not thirsty. You don't want to go to bed unless you're tired. You don't go to the doctor unless you're conscious you're sick. Unless, as I've already said, for a yearly checkup. When a person discovers something's gone wrong, I need to go to the doctor. Let me tell you, no one is coming to seek Jesus Christ unless he knows and feels his need. Lord, I'm sin sick. I want the great physician. I want to be saved. Lord, I'm hungry. I've tried the world and it doesn't satisfy. I want salvation. I want that bread from heaven. Lord, I've tried all the world's cisterns. They've dried up on me. I've only the empty river beds to reflect upon. upon in my life. I want something that will really slake my spiritual thirst. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I am the living water. For everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, he that hath no money. Come ye, buy wine and money. Wine and water without money and without price. So we find those who feel their need are ready to come to Christ. And that's the reason we preach as we do, friend, that you might discover your need. You're not going to come to Christ until you discover it. A lot of people don't think they need salvation until they come to die. God wants you to consider this now. Why, I think it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian, a born-again Christian, when you're healthy. But I'll tell you, it's awfully important when you're a Christian, when you're facing death. That's when true Christianity really pays off, when you're up against the King of Terrors and the terror of King Death. Face to face with eternity, there's no foolishness now. You've got to have the real faith. Pays off then, oh Christ. Are you really seeking him this morning in earnest? You know, this leprosy is an old disease. It tells you that in verse 11 of chapter 13, an old leprosy. And the subject we're speaking on this morning, sin, is an old disease. Started away back there in the garden. It's an old disease. Another thing, it's a loathsome disease. My, how loathsome leprosy is. I've heard missionaries tell of only being able to speak to lepers when they had a building down by the ocean where there was a strong wind blowing in off the ocean. And no front to the building and no back to the building. They had a roof, they had signs. And they had to stand with their back to the water and speak to those lepers so the wind would blow the odor in the other direction. They couldn't stand before them otherwise. The odor was so horrific. They couldn't stand. The odor would make you sick. Leprosy is a loathsome disease. Not any more loathsome than sin. And think of the loathsomeness of sin and the awful odor of sin that's blowing right in the very face of God today from this wicked, corrupt world. Think of what God has to smell from this corrupt race. The sin in the world today. Maybe your life is contributing to that awful odor that's going up to heaven. Yes, sin is a loathsome thing. Sin is filthy. All you got to do is go to the operating room after they've had four or five operations. See some human bodies in the filth of physical decay. But that's only a picture what sin is, because sin has produced that. Not only do we find sin filthy as to the body, it's more filthy as to the soul, the dens of iniquity. I tried on two or three occasions to help people who have gone to the depths. I'm going to tell you, friend, I turned away with utter disgust. The things they would stoop to and do. Absolutely vile. Perfect. Oh, how loathsome leprosy was and how loathsome sin is to the nostril of Almighty God. Unclean. We're all as an unclean thing and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You don't realize how God looked at sin. If you realized his holiness, you would. But to God, sin is awfully loathsome. You folks would turn away with many things if you saw the loathsomeness of it relative to the body. Do you turn with the same loathing from sin? Or do you court sin? Are you attracted to it? Or do you turn in disgust and loathing away from it? Because God looks upon it with a loathsome attitude. Again, sin is quite contagious, just like leprosy. Leprosy is very contagious. That's why they have leper colony. A leper is immediately isolated. because leprosy is dreadfully contagious. That's so of sin, absolutely. Sin is very contagious. Why are some of you not saved this morning? Why are some of you not Christian this morning? Because you are in a shop or a knock. Your companions are not saved. Yes? And that bad company is keeping you from the sea. Sin is contagious. Your unconverted companions, and the places you like to frequent have a contagious effect upon you. They affect you, and that's why you're not coming to Christ. Oh, how contagious sin is, and how it spreads. That's why parents are wise. Watch where their children go and with whom their children play and company, because sin is contagious. Many a fine young boy and young girl has gotten a bad company, just like a good apple in a barrel of bad ones. It hasn't been long until that young brother or young girl and boy have become affected by sin in its most loathsome form. Sin is contagious, just like leprosy was. But I'm glad to say that salvation is contagious too. I've known people to get saved, and other people saw how happy this person was when he found Christ. Why, he's got something I don't have. She's got something I don't have. And I want it. Real salvation is contagious. And that's the real function of the church. To have a church that preaches Christ. Have a church whose members love the Word of God and speak of the Lord Jesus, not all the time speaking about our church, our church, our church, but speaking about Jesus Christ, what He means to them. And when such people speak, that church has a contagious effect. People are affected. They want to know something about this Christ. They want to know something about God's Word. Another thing, leprosy was incurable, humanly speaking. The Bible says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? No, the Ethiopian can't change his skin. The leopard can't change his spots. And then you can't change your fallen nature. You're a leper at heart. You can't change. Only God can change. That's the sad thing about it. Leprosy, like sin, humanly speaking, is absolutely incurable. In many cases, it was fatal. When there was no cleansing, it meant death. And sin is fatal. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die, unless that soul finds Christ. Another thing about leprosy, it's separated. God says in chapter 13 and 46, that the leper shall be outside the camp. Outside the camp shall his habitation be. My, you know, it must have been a sad day when the father comes home. It's been a happy family gathering prior to this. He has a lovely wife and lovely children. He has a good job. Everything's fine. But while he's working that day, he rolls up his sleeve and he sees something. His face turns kind of dark and downcast. Tries to shake it off. Stop looking at it, he pulls his sleeve down again. But back in his mind, he has seen something he can't forget. It looks like leprosy. He goes home, he says nothing to his wife. Finally, he says, I'm going over to see the old Jewish priest. And he goes, and he says, I want you to see something. The priest looks at him. Leprosy. Leprosy. What does that mean? That means he's got to say goodbye to his wife, his children, his home, outside the camp. Says God shall his habitation be. Leprosy separates from loved ones. Leprosy breaks up a home. And so does sin. Sin walks rudely and roughly into many a home. Husband and wife are getting on wonderful. They have a lovely family. Until one day, one of them detects something
a little cooling off. Leprosy has appeared. The leprosy comes out. There's been unfaithfulness on the part of the wife or the husband. And there's separation. Adultery follows. Here's the sin of leprosy that walks unshod, rudely and roughly and cruelly into a hole. Now there are those arguments that follow. And who are listening? Little boys and girls are listening. They have their thinking distorted and their character warped for the rest of their lives because mother and daddy are going to separate. They're no longer happy. The sin of leprosy can separate loved ones and break up a family. Sin of adultery! Not to mention what the sin of drunkenness also can do. All these sins, just like leprosy, soul sin can break up a home, a lovely home, break up a family and bring separation between loved ones. If that's sad, and it is sad, the greatest of separation is separation from God. It's sad for a wife to be separated from her husband, and her husband separated from his wife. Children to be separated from their parents through sin. But the greatest of all separation is separation from God. Sin separates from God. The Bible tells you that. Isaiah says, your sins have separated between you and your God. And the tragic thing is, with so many, that separation becomes eternal. Comes eternal. We trust, friend, that in your case it won't. You come to Christ like this man in the day of his cleansing. Get your sin put away. That separation, as far as God's concerned, will not be eternal. And so sin separates. Oh, sin. That awful disease. That breaker of hearts and hopes and bones and health. Sin. Sick. There's a disease in Florida among the orange trees. They call it root disease. It appears later on in the leaves and then the autumn. Oh, that root principle, sin, working in the heart. Almost every person, friend, we've got to be on our guard against. There was, in these days, leprosy in the head, leprosy in the heart, leprosy of the body. The mind speaks of thinking. The heart speaks of affection. And your body speaks of your walking ways. How sad it is when sin affects a man's intelligence. Sin affects his thinking. He can't think straight. Sad when sin affects his heart. And his affections are all amiss. There's no love for God. Sin affects his life, his body. He's not living for God, and none of his talents and none of his members are used for the glory of God. Oh, sin. How horrible is sin. Then the trouble with leprosy, it was deeper than the skin. God tells you that. Did the trouble be deeper than the skin, really? Because sometimes it was just a surface situation, just a skin leprosy. They could treat that pretty well. But when they couldn't treat, and the trouble kept reoccurring, and they couldn't treat, it reappeared, then says God, the trouble deeper than the skin. It's down deep. It's not skin trouble, it's not surface trouble. I want to tell you, friend, the reason people are lost today, the trouble's deeper than the skin. Walking down the aisle, shaking the preacher's hand, joining the church, even being baptized often can just be treating the skin. The trouble's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. I couldn't tell you how many thousand people have been to the Albany Gospel Chapel since it's been built. Those little cards that some of you filled out, I have stacks of them. I've known some Sundays when we've had as many as 25. You count that up over
7 or 8 years. There are a number of them here. There are stacks of thousands of people. Some have come once. Some have come twice. Some have come 8 or 9 times. They haven't looked back. They've left with tears running down their cheeks. Ah, yes. The trouble was deeper than the skin, and they began to see it. They began to realize that it was more than just walking the aisle and shaking the preacher's hand and going through the formality of joining a church. It's the change of life we are aiming at. The majority of people that get saved here have been church members. We could have packed this place how long ago if we just invited people to come and join. Just to join a church. Just to have their letter. Friend, it's deeper than that. There are too many people today in Christendom got church letters and members of the church, and their lives are an absolute disgrace. Christianity. Salvation's deeper than that. Deeper than the skin. Salvation, real salvation, reaches the heart. It affects the heart. It changes the affections. And the person should love Jesus Christ and seek to live. Oh, this superfluous, shell line of things today. Skin. Oh, yeah, you can remedy that line. Just joining the church. By getting baptized, even being active in the church if you like. Friend, it's deeper than that. Unless you're born again and washed in the blood of Christ, you'll never enter heaven. The heart has got to be affected. That's what your Bible teaches. That's not what I say. That's what your Bible teaches. It's deeper than the skin. Another thing about leprosy, it levels all distinctions. Not it making a difference whether it was a king on the throne that he had a leprous hand. That poor old beggar down there in the ditch, he's got leprosy. They're both lepers. Now, there may be degrees of leprosy. One man may just have a tiny spot on her finger. Another lady may have just a spot on her breast. Another person and his body is eaten up with it. From head to foot, these just open sores of leprosy. Certainly there are differences in degrees, but they're both lepers just the same. Friend, you may just have committed one sin before God. Of course, you've committed more than that. But you may have just committed one sin. Here's a person doesn't do anything else but sin. He's committed everything in the book. They're both sinners. This one who's committed one and this one's committed a million, they're both going to the same hell unless they're born again. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says the word of God. Degrees of sin, certainly. That's why religious people need to be saved just like the beggars and the harlots and the drunk. The Lord Jesus Christ brought this point out when he said, speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, the religious rulers of his day, those who knew the law and were constantly living in the synagogue, he says, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of heaven before you. What a scathing, devastating remark. You men who give yourselves to religion, you're studying it all the time, you frequent the synagogue, you're engaged in all the temple activities, and there are publicans and sinners who are going to be in heaven and you're going to be in hell. You're trusting your good life and all your religious activities. These poor sinners didn't have a good life to trust. All they could do was trust Christ. All they could do was accept the Savior. And that's what they did. That's what they did. That's what takes you to heaven, friend. Trusting Jesus Christ. It's only His blood that can wash from all sin. So it levels all distinctions. Leprosy was no respecter of persons, neither is sin. Leprosy was exposed to the eye and wrath of God, as you read in verse 45 and verse 13. You know when a man discovered he was a leper, what he had to do? He had to put a covering on his upper lip. And he had to go outside the camp, and whenever he saw anybody approaching to him, he'd lift up his voice saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. How humiliating. No one could come near him. He'd just cry out, unclean, unclean. But what was the covering on the upper lip for? Nothing went up to God. And God saw, there's nothing for God if you're a poor leper without Christ. Friend, God sees your condition. God knows your condition. God pronounced his judgment upon lepers. Outside the camp, they can have no part in my tabernacle or temple worship. How sad, how tragic. But oh, how wonderful, after all this that we've been talking about, the dark side of it, there's a bright side of it. That's why I asked you to underline those words. In the day of his cleansing, here's a man in Mark. And the amazing thing, if we have time to go into it, was this. When he became white all over, no part red, no part blue, no yellow hairs, indicative of leprosy. When he became white all over, God said, you shall pronounce him clean. Well, I studied over that for quite a while, wondering just what does this mean? How could this be? And I discovered the thought, I believe, hidden behind it. The leprosy had come out. Before it was in, now it had worked its way out. And it was all out, on the surface, in the open. God says, all right, that man can be pronounced clean after the blood is shed. You know, the reason a lot of people are not saved is because there's something hidden in their heart. There's sin there that they're not willing to come clean with. They're not willing to bring out to the surface. They're not willing to confess. Now, you don't have to come up the front or tell me, even as an individual, your life and the hidden sin that's in your life. That's between you and God, but God sees it all. But there's one thing before God saves you, because he's got to save you, you've got to come clean. There's no hiding sin you've got to come out with. It's all got to come up to the surface. You've got to come out in the open before God, or God won't save you. And that's when the poor leper could be cleansed. When everything came to the surface. And when you're willing to come out and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, a lost sinner, a helpless sinner. I sinned before thee, and I've sinned before others, and they don't know about it. But I'm going to confess it before thee, Lord. That's when God was saved. This poor leper was brought to the priest. Or the priest, rather, went out to where the leper was. The leper couldn't go in where the priest was inside the camp of Israel. The priest had to go out where the leper was, out at the leper colony. And poor sinners couldn't go to heaven, friends, so the Lord Jesus came to earth. Our sin prevented us from going to heaven. But Jesus Christ came from heaven down to earth to this awful leper colony. He's waiting for poor sinners to say, Lord, here I am, a poor, lost, helpless sinner. Oh, the separations in my life. Oh, the sores in my life, Lord. Can you hear? Yes, I can hear. The priest went out not to tell the leper how to live, not just to look upon his sores and sympathize with them. The priest went out to shed blood. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world not to show us how to live, not to sympathize with us, but to shed blood, and that is his own. In this case, it was the blood of a little bird that was slain. In his case, it was his own blood. But your story is too beautiful. Two birds were caught. One was slain. See, the priest took that little bird, and he put his knuckles over the head, and he yanked the head off, and he let the blood drip. And then he took the live bird, and he dipped the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slain. He let it go. And then he turned and he took his finger and he sprinkled blood 7 times upon the leper and pronounced him clean. All this is so beautiful. What do the two birds suggest? The slain bird suggests the death of Jesus Christ where he died upon the cross. And the released living bird with the marks of blood upon its feathers. The blood of the slain bird along the wings and the feathers of the living bird that was released and went back to the heavens. That Jesus Christ in resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses. That's the slain bird. Raised again for our justification. There's the living bird. Jesus Christ went back to heaven with the marks of death upon him because that little bird was flying in the atmosphere with blood on its feathers. Jesus Christ went back to heaven with scars in his hands and feet and sides. The marks of the death that he died for you and me at Calvary. And the priest, after the sacrifice had been made, the bloodshed, he pronounced the leper clean. The man with jubilation ran back into the camp to embrace his family. Everything's clear now. That was the day of his cleansing, the happiest day on earth. You had that day of presence.
as all your sins been washed away. It wasn't what the leper did or said. The priest did it all. The priest pronounced him unclean first. Then the priest slew the bird, and he dipped the other bird in that blood and let it go, and then he took the blood and he sprinkled it upon this leper. And after he did all that, the leper was cleansed. The priest said so. He pronounced him clean. What did the leper do? He just stood there, and he let the priest do it all. Salvation's not by your work. It's what Jesus did. When I was saved at the age of 19, I just stood before God, a guilty sinner, on a spiritual level. Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Calvary, he died for me. When I was saved, he saved. What did that priest or that leper have when he went back into the camp as evidence he was clean? Because as they saw him approaching, people say, oh, you've been a leper. Oh, no, man, not anymore. How are we to know? You know what the priest gave that leper as evidence he was cleansed? A certificate of him. The leper would run back into the camp waving the certificate. I'm clean! I'm clean! I'm clean! Who said it? The priest. God's representative. Tonight or this morning, friend, you ask me if I'm saved yet. What's my authority? Here's my certificate. God's word. Not my feelings, not my words. We're born again by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I did nothing. Jesus did it all. I did all the sinning. He did all the saving. At Calvary, he died for me. And it is he who tells me this morning I'm saved. Will you believe? Will you accept? Will you accept them right now? Our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to thee. We ask thy blessing upon thy word. Salvation of precious souls and the edification of thy people to thine own glory. Now, Savior.